Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday. It's live again, it's live again.
Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Toffice Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday. Next week this time we'll be at DJ's in Belmar for our kickoff to summer. Yesterday something shocking happened. The Yankees lost to the Baltimore Orioles for the third time this year, I think. But that's going to be the last time that they lose to the Orioles. I will make that proclamation right now. They're not going to lose to the Orioles again for the rest of the season. Mets with a really exciting win against the Cardinals. They blow a lead in the ninth inning, but then come back in the 10th after being down 6-5 with a big Pete Alonso bomb to win the game, which was just awesome. And then he's throwing his helmet and everybody is happy. But the news during the game was that Max Scherzer is out for up to 2 months. And for whatever reason, when I heard the news, of course, I was bummed out about it and said that doesn't bode well for them. But it just does feel different, especially with them going on to win the game after the news and the way that they did, and Polar Pete, and the way that Buck Showalter talked about this makes me feel at ease. You know, and for years we saw this trend in baseball where, and a lot of teams still do it, where you get an extension of the general manager, you know, some puppet sitting in the dugout that is just there to spit out stats and look in a book and figure out what's going on, and it gets the lineup told in by a bunch of dweebs with laptops. And then you got used to that. But not with Buck. Buck's got control of this thing, and he's done a tremendous job with this franchise so far. So in Buck we trust as we navigate through these muddy waters with these injuries. And when both those guys come back in late July, hopefully healthy and ready to go, it's like getting the two best pitchers in baseball in
at
trade,
the trade deadline.
At
yes.
the trade deadline.
I like
yeah.
it. I like the way you're thinking, G, because I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about all the four major sports, and I was thinking about head coaches and managers that exude that confidence and that sense of calm when it seems like everything's, you know, falling apart around them, which is, you could say, for the Mets right now, it feels that way, especially with their starting rotation, with 3/5 of their initial starting rotation out of the lineup. But, you know, Epler and Sandy Alderson and Steve Cohen, you know, spent some money, brought some guys in here. They do have legitimate starters that are going. They're going to need another one unless they're going to use Trevor Williams the way that they did. But I will say that having that presence in the dugout is important. So who are those coaches? You know, in the NFL, Bill Belichick obviously is one of those coaches. I would think, like, John Harbaugh would be one of those coaches. Pete Carroll was probably one of those coaches. I don't know if Rob Saleh will turn out to be one of those coaches, or whether or not Brian Daboll will turn out to be one of those coaches. But Buck Showalter is clearly one of those managers. And that's why, you know, fans scream and yell about managers and decisions. All right, it is in-game decisions, but it's also the general feeling around the club and how you want that club to respond to issues like this. And there has to be a steady hand at the bow. And right now, that's what we have with Buck Showalter. That's why all these years I've been talking about Buck Showalter, Buck Showalter, Buck Showalter. It's because of situations like this that I admire a guy that has been through the wars with, you know, and he hasn't always had great seasons. We all know that. He hasn't won a World Series. We all know that.
Yeah.
But the point being is that he is a steady adult hand, you know, right there at the front step. And the way he reacted yesterday was exactly how I want my manager to react.
Yeah, and that permeates throughout the clubhouse. There's no doubt about it. If everybody saw Buck Showalter going, oh, damn it, crap, I can't believe this. Why me? I mean, everybody said this about the Mets, and then I came here, and it happened, and these injuries, and can you believe this crap, and what are we going to do? And now we got to throw out a bunch of scrubs out there. I mean, and also, you know, you have the reactions and the inexperience of guys like Mickey Callaway and Luis Rojas that were in there. And I think, you know, not that I really disliked Luis Rojas, but he wasn't ready for the job.
Well, these are, you know, this is an experienced guy like Tony La Russa is for the White Sox.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you could say Alex Cora is for the Red Sox. So, you know, you just gotta, you know, it takes time, it takes years of experiences to be able to become the guy that ultimately Buck Showalter is.
Yeah.
You know, Bill Belichick has been through a million things as an assistant coach with the Giants, an assistant coach with the Jets, a head coach with the Browns, the beginning part of his run in, you know, in New England, the lucky break that they got with Tom Brady, the ability to now run a franchise basically flawlessly and still be able to remain competitive. He went to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback last year.
Yeah.
You know, and it's due to a steady hand at the top of the organization. So I'm so happy that Buck is here for this, because I don't know what this would have been like had we had another inexperienced manager going through this.
Yeah, I mean, probably another June swoon, probably another situation like last year. I mean, they were up, I think, right around the same deal last year in the division, if you remember. Like, they were up like 5 or 6 games in the division at this point last year, which was crazy to think about with the way that the season went, but that's where they were. And then Jacob DeGrom fell apart.
Jacob DeGrom went down, and the team went down with him. And there was also a little bit of the infighting going on and all that other stuff. You don't hear any of that stuff right now. And some of the comments from Pete Alonso after the game yesterday, which was kind of interesting, because I think Santander's home run was right before Pete Alonso's home run.
Yeah. Yep.
And both of them had the same kind of situation at home plate, winning the game with the home run. But it's you know, Pete saying, look, we're a bunch of grinders. We got good players. We care. You know, he's saying all the right things. And then they go to Buck and they say, you know, why is this team like this? And, you know, Buck was a realist. He goes, look, this is what's happening right now. This may not be the case in 6 weeks, but, you know, we're going to play and we're going to show up and we're going to be ready to go. And I got a good bunch of guys that really care about what they're doing. And he was very, you know, very complimentary to his team. But, you know, this thing can go south in a hurry, but you just hope that the steady hand at the top is not going to allow that to happen.
Yeah, I forgot about this, that they were in first place as late as this, but they were in first place and all the way into early August. They were in first place at the All-Star break.
We got a long way to go, my man.
Yeah, I know.
And there was all these issues with Lindor and Jeff McNeil and, you know, DeGrom getting hurt, and Syndergaard not doing, you know, and you had the Stroman stuff going on. I mean, think about all the crap that was going on.
Oh, I couldn't stand that team. It's one of my least favorite teams in Mets history. I gotta be honest with
and
you.
How does it compare to this team?
Oh, you replace guys like, you know, Stroman and Baez with others, you know, guys, you know, Bassett, who's got that mentality of his team first, you know, obviously, as opposed to Stroman, where it's all about him and everybody was going after him. I mean, it's totally different. You know, a guy like, you know, replacing Baez with a guy like Marte, who you could tell is out there busting his ass every chance he gets. And Javi Baez is, you know, loafing it and giving thumbs down to the fans. I mean, it's a totally different deal. This stat, I remember this stat from last year, because I'm looking back at the 2021 Mets season, which is unbelievable. The Mets spent 103 days in first place, marking the most days in MLB history a team had been in first and finished with a losing record. 103 days in first place and finished with a losing record. What a bunch of slobs. Yeah, but this year, different. Different leadership, different core, different team. I feel so much better about their ability to navigate the tough times. Speaking of navigating tough times, Game 2, after a very frustrating Game 1 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes, the Rangers take the ice again down in Carolina. And it'll be really interesting, the up and down of the playoffs, as we saw, and once again, we're reintroduced to in that Penguin series, the roller coaster ride that it is. We'll get a look tonight. Now, are you going to see a continuation of the third period in the first period of this game, or did the Rangers figure out something defensively in front of Shesterkin that's really going to frustrate the Carolina Hurricanes for majority of the game? Because they played their best defensive game they had played in the postseason by far the other night when this series started.
Well, they need more offense from their top two lines. There's no question about that. But I do appreciate the fact that I think there were only 26 shots on Igor. There weren't 50 shots on Igor. In other words, somebody said something. Now, part of that is due in large part to the way that the Hurricanes were playing the first two periods. And then, of course, Brind'Amour, and I told you yesterday, changed up the lines, and then all of a sudden things started happening. Their forecheck, which they have been known for, really started to assert itself. And the Rangers were playing, you know, dump and get off the ice as opposed to, you know, dump and chase and go, you know, force them to be in their zone, for a few minutes a shift. So I just think you just got to play a more complete game. And I do agree with Gerard Gallant. After those first two periods, that was the Ranger team that's the playoff team. That's the team that has to win. That's the way that Tampa Bay has played. And when their opportunity presents itself, which it did multiple times for the Rangers in game one, Tampa Bay finds a way to get it done. That's the heart of a champion. That's a grizzled veteran team. They know what's going on, and they know how to do it. The Rangers are learning through all of this. The Braden Schneiders, the Adam Foxes, and the Keandre Millers, and along with Shesterkin, are all still learning. Lindgren as well. So four or five of your major defensive aspect of your team are all going through this for the first time. And I thought they handled themselves relatively well in game one. And I would suspect weather the 10-minute storm tonight, a Friday night 8 o'clock game, get through it, settle everybody down, and hopefully, you know, they come back and they get the victory that we desperately need on the road.
And the way that it works out, there's going to be two games played before we're back on the air on Monday.
Yes.
So we're going to have a real good feel for this series on Monday morning on what the hell's going on.
Yes, we will.
Could it be 3-0?
No.
Could it be 2-1?
No.
Rangers. Could it be 2-1? Hurricanes.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what the playoffs, it's called playoff agita.
Oh, yeah.
And we all love to have it, and I'm glad I'm in it. And I'm glad they played the way that they played. I just wish they would have finished the game as opposed to, like, sitting back in that third period and just holding on like they used to do with Henrik. That's what they used to do with Henrik.
Yeah, absolutely.
And most of the time, he would end up, you know, living up to the task or the task at hand. And then later on in his career, I can't tell you how many times there were late goals under 5 minutes that would be crushing. 5 minutes ago in the game, Rangers were up by 1-0 here, 3-2 there, and then all of a sudden they'd give up a goal. And that's exactly what happened in game one. So hopefully that does not happen again, and the Rangers learn from it.
Let's go to Augie in Middletown. What's going on, Augie?
Boomer and Geo. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Augie. What's happening, brother?
Hey, feel good Friday. Hey, Boom, you took a little bit of my thunder there, but listen. The reason why we look so good in period one and two is because we played poorly defense against Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was terrible. So, I mean, with a slower Carolina team, what's driving me crazy is we're allowing them to come into the zone, and by the they're taking shots at the top of the circle. I mean, we got to start standing Carolina up at the blue line. Carolina loves to get in the zone and start methodically working their offense. We got to deny them from getting in the zone. And for real quick, just for the Rangers trying to sit on that 1-0 lead at the 18-minute mark in the third period and trying to sit on that, no way, man. I mean, I knew Carolina was going to catch us. And
well, we all felt that way. I mean, every Ranger fan felt the same way. Like, this is not going good. This is not great what's happening here. And we all felt it early in the third period. It's one thing when you're fighting back, and if they would have been fighting back where we would have seen a little bit more offensive push to keep them in their zone, and then you try to lock it down under 5 minutes to go, I got it. But to try to do what they did for 20 minutes is almost impossible.
Yeah, a little prevent defense situation.
Right, and then, of course, you have the freak goal off of Lindgren stick, and you know neither one of these goals, by the way, were Igor Shesterkin's fault.
No.
None of them.
I mean, Shesterkin on the game tying goal made an unbelievable initial save.
And Artemi Panarin is, you know, coasting like he's, you know, skating at Wallman Rink.
Hmm.
And hey, Artemi, let's go. Come on, let's go.
Daniel in Brooklyn. What's up, Daniel?
How you doing, GM Boomer?
Hey, man.
All right, Daniel, what's happening, brother?
So, listen, this Mets team, I got to tell you, I'm in a with a group of friends that were the most, like, pessimistic Mets fans ever. You know, and when we heard the Scherzer news yesterday, we were like, gloom and doom, same old Mets. But there's something about this team, and it's got to do with those guys at the top of the lineup, with Nimmo, with McNeil, with Canna. They're always getting on base. And when you have guys constantly getting on base and not swinging for the fences, and Evan talks about it a lot in the late afternoon show about McNeil, said, I'm not swinging for the fences anymore. It's just the ball's not just going out. He's spraying it all over the field. When you do things like that, no lead is safe for another team, and it puts a lot of pressure on the other team. And the base, aggressiveness and all that, I just love the way this team's going, but I will say this. We're going to see this year if the Steve Cohen effect is real when it comes to he sees a problem, we're down two starters, we're going to need some help. Is he going to go out there and open up his wallet and go get some free agents and go sign some people and spend some money? Because this team could go
you got to remember, it's in season. It has to be a trade. I mean, he's not going to – there's not a free agent pitcher out there that's just sitting there.
Now,
waiting to be signed.
Right, if he takes a trade off of, say, like, I don't know, the Pirates, Kansas City, I don't know, I have to look at their numbers, and it's a high-paid player, mm-hmm. and they take that salary on, that's the advantage that Steve Cohen gives us as Met fans that we've never had before. So the other thing, too, is, you know, Evan knows his baseball. I don't want to, you know, get on Evan, because he does, and he goes, and he loves the team and all that other stuff. But he's basically telling you what Keith Hernandez has been telling you about Jeff McNeil this year. And he once again said it again. You know, he's a line drive hitter. He's most effective when he's trying to do what he's doing. He's choking up on his bat. He's not trying to hit home runs. And it's effective. The other thing, too, I will say, what is obvious, when Lindor is doing what Lindor has done the last three or four games and gotten on base, and Pete Alonso is doing what Pete Alonso is doing, that is like your two supposedly highest and best paid players doing what you need them to do in order to win. You know, when Lindor's in an extended 0-for-18 slump, then all of a sudden things don't seem to happen quite as readily as they happen when he's doing what he has done the last couple. So now, the last three games, he's lived up both offensively and defensively to the personality that he has and the contract that he has.
Yeah, when Lindor and Alonso are going, you feel great about the team.
And McNeil.
Oh, yeah, McNeil's been, but he's been consistent.
You see that play he made yesterday along the, he's playing right field.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a play at foul territory, climbing up the wall and throwing the ball to second base and getting a double play.
He's been awesome.
I mean, that's an athlete. That's a guy that will play second base. That's a guy who will play left field. He'll play right field. And he made a great play in right field yesterday.
Dare I say he's been the most consistent and best player for the Mets this entire year so far. I mean, he has been.
Why would that be a dare?
Well, because, Alonso, Francisco Lindor, there's a lot of other guys, you know.
Well, I mean, you know.
I was going to say their best player, but then I stopped
Zeal
short
gives
of it.
A zeal of approval. I mean, you know. He was talking about 40 and 150 for Alonso. That is the pace that he's on right now for home runs and RBIs.
Pretty damn good. All right.
So I would say that's pretty consistent.
Pretty consistent, yeah.
It seems like McNeil's been involved in a lot of stuff, though. Defensively, offensively, choking up on the bat, getting hits. Hitting it where they ain't.
That's right.
You're not kind of
spraying the ball all over the place.
Spraying it all over the place.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Like one margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot. Don't worry about tomorrow, leave all your sorrow out here on the floating dock. When that sun lays down, we'll be on our way. One more barefoot round, one more last chance to say.
CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Friday, getting ready for a game two between the Rangers and Hurricanes tonight. Peter Schwartz in for a recovering Jerry Recco. Hopefully we'll get Jerry back on Monday because he's feeling better and he doesn't have COVID. We don't have to deal with protocols and all of that nonsense that we've been dealing with, unfortunately. But for the time being, we got Peter for one more update and moment of the day.
Yes.
So what is happening, Peter?
Well, we are powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. And we're brought to you by HomeServe Heating and Cooling of New York. Visit HomeServeNY.com.
He changed his hat again.
I went back to the
Ducks. Well, he had to. I mean, that other thing was just an atrocity. I mean, it was just really dirty. This thing looks good on TV. Looks good on you. Looks good TV.
You had a big head, right?
Yeah, it's like a size 8.
Jesus. Looks like a bottle cap on your head.
This one's fine, right?
No, I think that's okay.
All right, good. Yeah.
I don't see any sweat marks in it or anything? No.
No, not yet.
Yeah. So the other one was dirty. I tried to clean it in the bathroom. That's what the wet mark was.
Oh, okay.
Day of mixed emotions for the Mets at Citi Field. They trailed the Cardinals 6-5 in the bottom of the 10th, but Pete Alonso was up with one on.
Alonso hammers one. Left field. Way back. It's long gone. The Mets win in the bottom of the 10th. Pete Alonso drives one out against Gallegos, and the Mets finish off a series victory in 10 innings.
Wayne Randazzo on WCBS.
It's a big call for Randazzo. He doesn't normally get those walk-offs because Howie usually does the ninth inning.
Yeah.
But he gets that opportunity.
He was on TV the other
day. Retire already, old man. It's my time to shine.
They get ready to take the train down to Washington.
Right. They all get in there on their horses and ride to play the Nationals. All right, what else here, Peter?
Mets over the Cardinals 7-6 on that Pete Alonso walk-off two-run homer. And now the Mets are off to Colorado to take on the Rockies. Carlos Carrasco on the hill for the Mets this evening. Mets pitcher Max Scherzer with a strained oblique muscle in his left side, expected to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Manager Buck Showalter said stuff happens.
I mean, the balls.
Guys are kind of wired that way where, you know, you've been through it so many times. And whether it's the coaching staff or everybody, it's one thing I really have talked about and Billy's talked about. You know, this is kind of what you do. You know, this is a chance to shine instead of a chance to pull the dirt around you. It's what you're supposed to be good at.
And it's Mets and Rockies tonight in Colorado. First pitch on WCBS 880 at 840. Now to Baltimore, where Anthony Santander hit a walk-off three-run homer in the bottom of the ninth off Lucas Litke, and the Orioles beat the Yankees 9-6. The Bombers cannot complete the four-game sweep at Camden Yards. Still a good road trip for manager Aaron Boone's team.
guys are kind of wired that way.
6-2, pretty good. You know, would have loved to obviously finish it off today and heading home, but, you know, anytime you go out on the road and can throw a 6-2 up there, you take that.
DJ LeMahieu tied the game on the top of the ninth with an RBI single. It was just the second loss in 12 games for the Yankees. Giancarlo Stanton hit his 11th home run. So despite the loss, the Yankees are playing well right now.
I think we're in a good spot. We can always get better, capitalize on games like this where we can come back. But, you know, that's baseball. I think we'll be okay. Just got to keep pushing forward. Big weekend.
Yankees.
Can you call him?
Yankees back home tonight to open the series with the White Sox. Nestor Cortez on the hill. Coverage here on The Fan at 6:25. College football Wednesday night. Alabama head coach Nick Saban suggesting that Texas A&M bought every player in their 2022 recruiting class yesterday.
Suggesting. He didn't suggest anything. He accused them of it.
Yeah.
And Deion Sanders and Jackson State.
Well, yesterday, Texas A&M head coach Jimbo Fisher fired back and mentioned how he wouldn't go back to work for Saban.
No, I wouldn't. No, listen, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go, I ain't went back and worked for him. I ain't with opportunities.
Coach back behind
don't
the lines.
Associated with it.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Wow.
I mean, if Nick Saban is the greatest to have done it, he says one thing, accusing you of something, and then you go at him like he called you the devil, for Christ's sakes. Calm down. I mean, I'm tired of hearing him all day.
Yeah,
I mean,
but seriously, you know what? Time out. I mean, the accusation is significant.
Yeah, they did it, though. They paid a bunch of people, just like everybody else is. Like, they act like they're not doing it. Of course you're doing it. Now, maybe, like you said, it's a nuanced conversation in the sense of, like, maybe Texas A&M itself isn't doing it. But they know exactly what they're doing. All their boosters are paying the players. That's why they're going there.
And I'm sure that they were in on recruiting multiple players that ended up going to Texas A&M and said, you know, we're going to Texas A&M because they're giving us $150,000.
Exactly.
Giving
100%, and that's why you said it before. Nick Saban doesn't say this stuff without having some sort of information about
it. Yes.
So it's like you act like you're holier than now. You get this opportunity to bash on Nick Saban because the rest of the world is, because he got on his soapbox when probably he's not the right guy to be saying those things. But like him with Deion Sanders, he's trying to get attention for his program, and I don't even blame him, and he's done a good job. But Jimbo Fisher, like, going after Nick Saban, like, all these guys are dirty. You're all dirty. You're all doing the same thing. And it's like, so what if Nick Saban sat there trying to pander to his crowd and said what he said? Like, nobody's going to investigate you. The NCAA barely even exists anymore. Like, what is the actual fallout of what Nick Saban said about Texas A&M?
Well, there is no fallout other than the SEC commissioner may actually, you know, come down with some...
them both in a room and say, shut up.
Shut up, because you're making us look bad, is what you're making us look. I mean, like, but then again, you have schools like Maryland, Rutgers, North Carolina, Virginia, Boston College, Syracuse, UConn... that have no chance in the world to even compete on these levels. I don't even. It's almost like the Kansas City Royals and the Pittsburgh Pirates in Major League Baseball. Like, there's just no way to be able to compete. No, there's none.
Well, Fisher didn't stop there. Said Saban's comments are not good for college football.
It's despicable for what it does for the sport and the operations. The way things were done the other way, when the parity was there, like we said, never has been parity. Certain people never follow the rules anyway.
Yeah, and you're telling me that Jimbo Fisher's record's been clean wherever he's gone? I mean, like, he shouldn't be bitching about anything. They sent a private jet to pick up his country honky-tonk ass from Florida State and fly him to freaking Texas A&M. Like, you're making, how much money is he making? Shut the F up already. God. Well, I mean, these guys are... these guys are the worst. Like, I mean, and Nick, everybody wants to be Nick Saban. Like, that, you're never going to be Jimbo. You're never going to be Nick Saban, ever.
All right, so here you go. In September, days before the 2021 season was to begin, Texas A&M's Board of Regents voted to extend Jimbo's landmark 10-year $75 million contract into becoming a 10-year $95 million deal.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Right. Yeah,
that is unbelievable.
To do what? Where did they even fit? What did they even do last year? They even do anything, Eddie? Are they any good? Has he done anything while he's been there? They've sniffed around, but no, not
the probably ultimate. Got his ass kicked by Nick Saban every time they play, right?
They beat them. No, they did beat them
one time.
Yeah.
God.
And they will face each other October 8th in Tuscaloosa. Jeez. So that'll be something to see. NBA playoffs, Celtics take game two of the Eastern Conference Finals, beat the Heat in Miami, 127-102. That series tied at a game apiece. Round two of the PGA Championship underway in Tulsa. Rory McIlroy, the lead after one. He'll tee off just after 2:30 this afternoon. Stanley Cup playoffs, Rangers, Hurricanes, game two tonight, 8 o'clock, with the Rangers down one game to none. Last night, Lightning over the Panthers, 2-1, and the Blues over the Avalanche, 4-1. Now it's time for a moment of the day.
That was, you ran right through this update here, Peter.
Yes.
You're way short.
And by the way,
what the hell are you doing? Where happened all the cuts and everything?
I played everything.
Did you had 8 cuts this hour?
I mean, I did.
What was the score of the Blues Avalanche?
I just gave it. It was 4-1.
I know you gave it. I just wanted to reiterate.
Blues this. 4, Avalanche 1.
Right. So I went on like a 5-minute rant about college football, too, and you still fell short here at 9:36.
By the way, the Blues did what the Rangers need to do tonight.
Yes.
They need to bounce back.
Yes.
Playing against a very good opponent in their building. Just do exactly what the Blues did last night.
To do what the Blues did, that's
yes.
right.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you won't catch me dead watching
which,
this series.
Which was a shorter update that you ripped apart, this one or Greg Caserta's the other one? Because you really hammered him the other day.
Well, Caserta was way shorter, yeah. No, you'd done a good job up until now. I don't know what happened there.
Well, everything was great. This is basically a re-rack.
You went from
of the
college football
update.
To the end of the end of the hockey scores, like in 25 seconds. You really jammed right through it. It's all right. Let's give us moment of the day. We'll handle it on the back end. It's a feel-good Friday.
Is moment of the day brought to you by somebody?
Yes, it is. Would you like me to tell you who?
I would like to hear that.
The moment of the day is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it.
Money!
So earlier this morning, some sort of odor penetrated the studio, and Boomer and Gio spent some time talking about it.
It smells like weed in here now.
It does?
I'm getting...
You got a weed sniff?
Well, there's a certain staff member who is here, but I don't know.
I don't smell it.
I do. I take it outside.
I have very sensitive sense of smell.
We don't have it in here yet.
100%.
I don't smell.
I'm telling you, I'm not making this up.
This just happened.
Yeah, just happened. Just in that moment. I'm going to have to go out and smell it. I will find that. I will sniff that whole thing out, and I will find it.
I can't believe you. Like I said, I have a very sensitive nose.
Yeah, you know, it's not
I can smell
yet.
Just about everything.
Okay, all right, and you don't have it.
And I don't smell it.
Maybe but, just talking about the subway.
Just go over by G, see if it...
A psychosomatic it reaction over in this area. He's like a bloodhound.
Like he's sniffing out for a liberal...
I didn't hear that.
He's going to go right to the control room and sniff in your butt in about a second.
And there you have it.
All right, good job there, Peter. No, very nice job. I just was surprised you didn't have as much for the fourth update. But it was good. You did a good job
today.
Okay,
thank you. I appreciate that.
You feel good about your performance today?
I do feel good about it.
You should.
I do.
But the accessory of Skankies, you did a great job.
Yeah, other than calling on the Skankies in the first update.
And the dirty hat.
Yeah, that's the dirty
Skankies.
Hat. Skankies.
Yeah.
And you did the warm-up show today.
I did.
Which is a big deal.
That was fun.
All right. Yeah. So we'll see you again soon if everybody's sick.
By the way, no extra cash for the warm-up show, by the way.
That's I wasn't freebie. Expecting any.
Right. You've been in this business long enough to not expect any extra cash for anything. All right.
Do I expect other things? Yeah, but...
Hey, give us your... next time you get one of those gigs for the Ducks with the PA announcer.
Right, so you can't go Thursday because you got the big day on Friday.
Yeah, but let us know.
I'm waiting for the June schedule to come out, see which couple of games I get.
Perfect. We'll show up and we'll see you and we'll go hang out.
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever,
or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this feel-good Friday before Game 2 of the Rangers and the Hurricanes. You know, I mean, I didn't want to go crazy. I didn't even think I'd go crazy about the Jimbo Fisher thing today, quite frankly. Like, I knew that audio was out there.
Yeah.
But, like, there's just something about, you know, him going nuts on Nick Saban when Nick Saban made this flippant comment that was just, it just bothered me. Now, the Deion Sanders one, if that isn't true, like, if he's talking about specifically, like, oh, they gave that one guy $1 million, you know, and that wasn't true, then Deion also, who's trying to get attention for Jackson State, which needs more attention.
But did somebody connected to Jackson State give him $1 million?
Yeah.
Did somebody connected to Texas A&M give all these kids, you know, bonuses to sign their scholarships to go and go to school at Texas A&M?
Yeah, I mean, I,
The whole thing is... it's hypocritical. The whole thing's hypocritical.
Everybody is doing things that they probably shouldn't be doing, or and have been for years to be able to compete. And then, you know, on top of it, now you have this loophole, in a sense, which isn't really a loophole, but, I mean, where you've got so much money from boosters going to these players, which is essentially an extension of the football program and the university giving it to the players. So, I mean, is Nick Saban really wrong about what he's talking about?
Well, I could also say that, you know, let's take, for instance, there's a thing at the University of Maryland called the M Club, and it's for alums to be a part of the club and to be able to support the school, and in particular, the scholarship program that goes to the athletes.
Yeah.
So, that's what we're doing. We're giving money to give them scholarships, and that's allowed.
Yeah.
So now the question is, are they starting other booster clubs to raise other money for this other reason?
Yeah, exactly. Which is, you know, you've referenced many times now where they've, you know, come to you and, hey, this is what we're doing, we're raising nil money and all this stuff. I mean, I don't know.
I'm out on all that.
No, I know.
I told you how I feel about it. I mean, I'm not against the guys or gals or anybody from any sport for that matter. If they want to go and use their own name, image, and likeness and make money from, you know, Dunkin' Donuts, for instance, or McDonald's or C4 or 5-Hour Energy, God bless them.
Yeah.
You know, that's a different story. That is, you know, but if those companies have deals, like, say, if, you know, I'm trying to think of a school, let's say Kentucky, they're sick about their basketball program. They're just crazy. They're over the top. Kind of like LSU and Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, about their football programs.
Yeah.
You know, this school is crazy about its basketball program and John Calipari. So let's say, you know, I don't know, Lexington First National Bank is a big sponsor. I don't even know if that's a real thing. But they're a big sponsor of Kentucky Wildcat basketball. And we got this number one recruit coming out of Michigan. He's a 7-footer, and he's got like 5 offers from 5 different schools that, you know, include some sort of nil bonus money. And all of a sudden, you know, Lexington National Bank says, oh, yeah, you know, we'll use his name and likeness in our ads or in our, you know, mailings, or he'll do some appearances for us. To me, that's dirty. To me, that's the sponsor that's sponsoring the basketball team that's now also using one of their basketball players
and his name, image, and likeness as an endorser to get him to go to that school.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I mean, I should have been not this naive about it, but, you know, when I thought that this was going to happen, I thought it would be like, okay, you sell some jerseys with your name on it or your number on it. You make some appearances at a car dealership. But basically what it did is it opened up the floodgates for people to cut corners and pay these players $3.5 million. Now, how is Jordan Addison, the pit wide receiver who went to USC, how is he going to get that $3.5 million?
Where is it coming from?
Where is it coming
right,
from?
Right, that's what I want to know. And the other thing, too, is that it's like anything like this that is now like open season like this. It's the transfer portal, too. The transfer portal is, you know, this is why guys like Jay Wright want to get out of it. Again, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but, you know, I've been told that, you know, this gets to be an exhausting process of recruiting from the transfer portal. You know, let's say you bring in a five-star recruit, and you give this kid $150,000 to come to your school, like Texas A&M supposedly did. And then you realize when you get him in there, he's not mentally and physically mature enough really to be playing at SEC level. So maybe he has to sit out a year. And now he's stewing because he thinks he should be playing. His parents think he should be playing. And then the next thing you know, he goes right into the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And goodbye. See ya.
Yeah, I know.
So there's all these potential pitfalls and problems. I'm all for, you know, free agency and allowing guys to move and find out what's best for them. But I don't know, man. You know, back in my day, it was not a thing. And I ended up spending 5 years at the University of Maryland. If the transfer portal were there that first or second year, I got to believe that I would have went into it.
Yeah, I mean,
I have to believe that I would have done it. I can only say that my 5 years at the University of Maryland turned out to be five of the greatest years of my life, even though there was trial and tribulations all the way along through it. But it still was like 5 years of my life that I enjoyed immensely.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and you would hope that there's still enough collegiate athletics out there that aren't corrupted. But when you're talking about basketball and you're talking about football, I mean, unfortunately, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube with these things. And the Jordan Addison thing, you know, the other problem with that is he was approached. So he wins the Biletnikoff Award, which is for the best wide receiver in college football. He's approached by Lincoln Riley before he's in the transfer portal going, hey, we'll pay you to play out here.
Somebody got to him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, whoever. Somebody at USC. Hey,
I forget, these kids are doing this. Why don't they have agents?
Like, imagine, like,
shouldn't they have agents?
Yeah, they should.
But I thought if you have an agent, you now all of a sudden...
You're a pro, yeah.
You become a pro.
Well, that's what the NBA says. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, and to think, like, you know, to have... When you say schools have no shot, let's not even think about the recruiting part of it. Let's think about what happened here with this wide receiver. At a school that's well-known, Division I school, ACC Coastal, that won the ACC championship last year, they don't have a shot. Because they had somebody swoop in and take away a player that wasn't even in their transfer portal like he was a free agent in the NFL.
That's right.
So, I mean, and he puts out some, and I don't even blame the kid, $3.5 million in a house. Like, why are you supposed to blame the kid? But he puts out this whole thing like, oh, you know, I hailed a Pitt, and I'm always going to be a Pitt man, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. Like, stop. You know, like, let's just call this what this is. You know, they offered you more money. I don't know what Pitt was able to do for him, and they were able to come even close to that.
No,
but
not at all.
I mean, and that was the end of it.
You know, the interesting thing is, like, in the same state, you have Pitt, and then you have Penn State. And I think that James Franklin's got, like, a 10-year, $75 million contract. You know, you have Mel Tucker up at Michigan State. It's got, like, an $85 million contract. So all the coaches are making money.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to sit and complain about any of this is BS. Now, you know, if you're at a lower level school and you can't compete with the SECs of the world and the USCs of the world now, I mean, there's going to be like 10 schools that have a chance for a national championship, and that's it. That is it. Nobody else.
You feel like it was already like that, but the way that it is happening now feels worse, I guess.
It feels like the Skivats.
The Skivats of the world.
Well, there are a lot of Skivats in college basketball, and I'm sure that there are a bunch in college football, but now it just feels like it's just so greasy.
Yeah, I wonder if once the season starts and this stuff settles down and everybody's on their roster, I mean, are we still thinking about it? I mean, maybe if you see, like, the scores of these games, like, you see, you know, it gets worse and worse.
And, you know, that's the other thing. They're there. And I know that these big schools pay these smaller schools, you know, gobs of money to keep their programs, you know, intact and allow to, you know, pay for some of the overhead and all that other stuff. But that those games should be ended. Because you're putting one school in a really, really bad spot. You know, how many guys get injured after those games? Does anybody ever go back and look and see how many guys are injured after, like, an Alabama plays a Wofford?
Oh, yeah, right. I know. I don't know if anybody's gone back and seen that, which is another joke in college football. I mean, I'm not the biggest college football fan growing up in New York, where we didn't really have a team. I didn't go to a big school. It's not like I went to a Big Ten school or an SEC school. I don't. So it's not like it's ruining my favorite sport, but I mean, how could you be like a big fan of a particular school that's got no chance of doing anything? You know, I mean, I guess it's like, well, sort of like being a Knicks fan. Now that I think about it.
Yes.
And whatever. But I mean, can we still say good for the kids, though? Like, that they get an opportunity to make this money, I mean, earlier in their lives? I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, are going to get this money, when they're 18 or 19 or 20, that maybe would have never gotten it in their lives. It could change their lives and hopefully put them on a better path. I mean, you could look at it like that. There could be some positivity that comes out of it.
They better hope and understand that they have to pay taxes. That they're not getting this money for free.
Yep.
That whatever money that they are receiving, they have to pay taxes. So you better hope that there's somebody in their life who understands that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And they don't end up screwing that whole aspect up.
Sure.
You know, inevitably, there's going to be some of that, too. So,
all right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.